Turn with me here this morning to the very first book of the Bible, the book of Genesis. We're going to go to the very first chapter of the very first book of the Bible, Genesis chapter 1. And we all know what this is. This is the creation story. And I am going to start reading at verse number 26 and read through the end of the chapter. So if you have your place in your Bible, let me hear you say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Let's stand while God's word is being read. We don't spend a whole lot of time in Genesis, but we are there today. And part of the creation story says this, starting in verse number 26. Then God said, "Let us make man in our image, in our likeness, and let them rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air, over the livestock, over all the earth, and over all the creatures that move along the ground." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God blessed them and said to them, "Be fruitful and increase in number. Fill the earth and subdue it. Rule over the fish of the sea and the birds of the air and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Then God said, "I give you every seed-bearing plant on the face of the whole earth and every tree that has fruit with seed in it. They will be yours for food. And to all the beasts of the earth and all the birds of the air and all the creatures that move on the ground, everything that has breath of life in it, I give every green plant for food." And it was so. God saw all that he had made, and it was very good. And there was evening, and there was morning, the sixth day. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, this is such a familiar passage. I'm sure all of us are familiar with the creation story, how you created in 6 days. But I believe there's more that we need to learn about this, Lord. And so, Father, I am praying for open hearts. I am praying for open eyes. And I am praying that we can all see this issue that's going to be talked about here today in a different light. Not a light that we want to shine ourselves, but through the light of Scripture, because that's what we want to hear, that's what we want to learn from, and that's what we are going to grow by. May your Scripture just stand ever so tall in our minds here this morning. And I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. And you may be seated. I don't preach on social issues. But when social issues start becoming theological issues and start infringing on the Word of God, it is time to speak. Today, we're going to begin what could be the most controversial and divisive sermon series that I ever have or ever will preach. It is a sermon series that every pastor needs to preach, but won't. It's a sermon series that every church person needs to hear, and won't. The series is about men and women. It's about gender. And it only becomes controversial and divisive when a person does not agree with the Word of God. In this series, we're going to be looking at 3 different things. 1, the differences between male and female genders. 2, gender-specific biblical rules for men and women in the home and in the church. And 3, all the perverse actions that are going on in our world today, and how all of this ties together. I want to begin this series by giving a general overview of this gender issue, and today look at it strictly from a secular worldview. I will talk about the impact of this gender issue on the home and in the church in later messages. First, let's look at the issue itself. Nothing is more confusing in the world today than this issue about men and women. I was born in 1953, and as I was growing up, you were either a boy or a girl. You were either a man or a woman. You were either a male or a female. Life wasn't confusing. Life was simple. Life was right. And boys liked girls. And girls liked boys. When I was very young, I remember asking my mother how one could tell the difference when a baby is born, if the baby was a boy or a girl. Her response was this: baby boys wear blue booties, and baby girls wear pink booties. At my age, I guess she just did not want to get in any kind of anatomical differences between the two sexes. Her booty answer was good enough for me. My friends, it's very simple. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 27, the Word of God tells us that God created them male and female. Two genders, male and female. And God has a divine purpose behind his creation of these two genders of male and female in the home and in church, which again, we're going to talk about a little bit later on down the road. It should come as no surprise to all of us that anything that God creates, anything that God establishes, Satan is going to attempt to pervert. Even something as basic and simple as God creating two genders, male and female, which is just about as obvious as it can get, the enemy is going to attempt to distort. And he has. And he's really good at what he's doing out there in the world today. And trust me, this distortion of this Genesis truth will be the destruction of our society. And it's going to make the church impotent. And it has started to do both. When I worked in the old GE building not that long ago, there was a person who worked there that I could not truthfully distinguish if this person was a male or a female. The person was about 6'2" in height, had a strong looking body like a male, had breasts like a woman, walked like a male, had shoulder length hair, and absolutely no facial hair like a female. This person used the ladies' restroom, and I was told by another female that when this person went into a stall in the ladies' restroom, they stood like a man to relieve themselves. I know and I understand there are some people who have genetic defects and abnormalities from birth when it comes to gender. And perhaps this person was one such person. I don't know. But such people are not who I am going to be talking about in this series. I want to talk about those individuals who are confused about their gender. But in truth, they have been deceived by the enemy. And they are comfortable being deceived by the enemy. Did you know that when you sign up for Facebook, there is a custom gender section, which you can choose a gender type other than male or female? This custom section gives you, the user, 56 different selections to choose from. Most of these selections, I would not know what they even were unless I was to look them up, which I really am not about to do. Here are some of the choices you get when you get on Facebook. Bi-gender, gender fluid, gender queer, intersex, pan-gender, trans, trans female, trans male, trans person, transsexual, two-spirit, FTM, which stands for female to male, MTF, which stands for male to female, and one called androgynous, which means a person is both sexes. And for the person who really doesn't know, there is one selection called neither. A man by the name of Bruce Jenner was born on October the 28th, 1948. Bruce was an accomplished athlete. Jenner won the 1976 Olympics decathlon event at the Montreal Olympic Games, gaining fame as an all-American hero. Jenner set a third successful world record while winning the Olympics. The winner of the Olympic decathlon is traditionally given the unofficial title of world's greatest athlete. With that stature, Jenner subsequently established a career in television, film, writing, auto racing, business, and as a Playgirl cover model. Bruce has fathered 6 children by 3 different wives. Jenner revealed her identity as a trans woman in April of 2015, publicly announcing her name change from Bruce to Caitlin in a July 2015 Vanity Fair cover story. Her name and gender change became official on September 25th, 2015. She has been called the most famous openly transgender woman in the world. What was once totally unheard of is now commonplace in our 21st century American culture. Today, you can be whatever gender you choose to be, regardless of your true birth gender. It has become so common that many public schools are telling the teachers that they can no longer address the students as boys and girls for fear that the student may not have yet come to terms with their own gender identity. Calling them either a boy or a girl can or will be offensive. And we certainly don't want to offend anybody in today's society, now do we? Don't get me started. As a Christian and as a pastor who has been charged by God to preach and uphold the Word of God, I am here to reiterate Genesis chapter 1, verse 27. He created them, male and female. There are only two genders, male and female. So let me just say this right up front at the start of this sermon series. If you disagree with that biblical truth, you need to find yourself another church. Or maybe this church just needs to find themselves another pastor. Because I assure you, Beech Grove, I am not going to ever, ever, ever change my position on the fact that there are two genders, male and female. Genesis 1:27. I prefer, and I will stand on the biblical truth before I'll ever get caught up in a cultural fantasy. If you decide you disagree with me, I will quietly go away. You decide. So, how did our society ever get so far away from the simplicity of the fact that there are only two genders? I have that answer for you. The United States of America of 2018 wants God out of our families, out of our schools, out of our government, out of our businesses, removed from the Pledge of Allegiance, removed from our money and currency, and just totally out of our culture. And God, in return, is honoring that request. Why do they want this? Because if God is gone, there's no more accountability. And they have no one to be accountable to except themselves. In Acts chapter 14, verse 16, the Apostle Paul tells the people, he says this, "In generations gone by, he," meaning God, "has permitted all nations to go their own ways." America is one of those nations, my friends. We are going and we will continue to go our own way, to follow our own selfish desires, and God is going to allow us to do it. So let's look at this progression. I want all of you to turn in your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, if you don't mind. I know we have different translation Bibles. If you don't have your Bible, then there's a pew Bible there. Please, everyone, open up a Bible in front of them to Romans chapter 1, would you please, while I go over this important part of Scripture. Romans chapter 1. I'm not going to read everything that's in Romans chapter 1, but we're going to focus primarily on verses 18 through 32. So, again, I'm even not going to read that, but if you just want to kind of read along what I'm going to say here. In verses 18 through 32, the Word of God tells us about the wrath of God. In verses 18 through 23, the first six verses there, we learn that mankind has created something called religion, exchanging the true God for a God, for another God, little g, that mankind has created and mankind prefers. That's how the Apostle Paul starts this section. In verses 24, 26, and 28, you might want to jot those numbers down in your bulletin. We see that God gave them over. God gave them over. God gave them over. Three times, God gave them over. So what does that mean? What does it mean when God gives a nation or a culture over? It means that God has allowed a culture to follow the sinful choices that that culture really desires. God is removing his restraining grace. It's not that God is causing people in that culture to sin. He can't do that. It's not within his nature. God is allowing by removing his restraining grace to be exactly what that culture is demanding to be. Since Americans have chosen religion over relationship, in verse 24, it says that God has abandoned us to sexual impurity. And isn't this what this country began seeing in the 1950s and in the 1960s? A sexual revolution? In those years, it was the beginning of the Playboy mentality and magazines that exploited sexuality. In the 1960s, it turned into free love and sex with whomever and whenever. The Mamas and the Papas wrote a song about it. You got to go where you want to go and do what you want to do with whomever you want to go and do it with. So what's the next step after verses 24 and 25 that America has been turned over into sexual immorality? We go to verses 26 and 27. Verse 26, now we are turned over to shameful lust. And if you look in verses 26 and 27, you can see exactly what he's talking about. Does this sound familiar? Does this sound like the LGBTQ movement that we see going on in our society today? Now it is no longer a sexual revolution. Now it is a homosexual revolution. Men with men. Women with women. There's no more coming out of the closet. You don't have to, because it's now socially acceptable to be gay, to be a homosexual, to be a lesbian. In verse 24, God turns a culture over to a sexual revolution. In verse 26, God turns a culture over to a homosexual revolution. So what's the third and final step? Verse number 28. God turns a culture over to a depraved mind. Some Bible translations use the word reprobate mind, or a corrupt mind, or a debased mind. They're all the same. What does that mean? A depraved mind is one that is worthless and useless. One that is not good for anything. Webster's definition. And boy, did Webster nail it. Worthless and useless. One that is not good for anything. Sound familiar? Sound familiar? It sure does. My friends, that is the liberal agenda in this country today. We have worthless and useless governing officials, along with worthless and useless education systems, along with useless and worthless marches on Washington, along with worthless and useless parents who are indoctrinating our children on how to make it through life, being worthless and useless because none of them have any common sense to know the difference between right and wrong. Amen. Come on, people. Are you with me?
Yes.
Amen. We live in a society that is full of depraved and reprobate minds. A person who does not know if they are a male or a female is one who has reached the level of a depraved mind. Bruce Jenner has a depraved mind, my friends. And now God is giving this country over to that depraved, reprobate, worthless, useless mind. He is allowing this nation to go their own way. And it's one form of the wrath of God. But it could be, and it is, very simple. Genesis 1:27. God created them male and female. Do you have blue booties or pink booties? We don't issue purple booties. God spoke through the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, and this is also on the front of your bulletin. Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those. I don't think I want to be the recipient of one of God's woes. But when a person has a depraved mind, they can no longer discern the difference between the two. I understand that the world out there is falling for all of this satanic nonsense. But it's really sad when the church starts falling into the same heresy. Churches allowing same-sex marriages? Question mark. Churches ordaining gays and lesbians into church leadership? Question mark. I'll talk about this when I talk more about males and female roles in the home and in church leadership in a few weeks. Beech Grove, it's time we opened our eyes. Search the scriptures and see what the word of God has to say about males and females, about men and women. It's sad that what seems to be so obvious has become so controversial and even divisive, even in the church. I say this. I say it's very simple, but it's also non-negotiable. God created them, male and female. Two genders, not 56. Two, male and female. And when we look at God's design and roles for males and females, we will see that there is such a wonderful harmony that makes men and women fit very well together in the church, in the family, and in society. Male and female, he created them. Next week, you really want to come back next week. You really want to come back next week. And you really want to bring somebody with you next week. Because next week, we are going to take a very light and a very comical look at the obvious differences between guys and gals, between men and women, between husbands and wives. Did you know that the male and female genders were made and wired differently by our Creator? Come back next week and see how different we really are. But we can either fight that and become androgynous, or we can embrace those differences. We're going to embrace those differences. Because when we do, I promise you, it is a true blessing. Let's go to God in prayer.